Let's pray real quick before we get started. Father God, I ask that your Holy Spirit would be among us today, that you would help us to understand your word, and Lord, not just to understand what it says, but take it and put it into action to do your will, God. Lord, we thank you for this chance to hear from your word. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. First thing I want to mention today is about politics concerning the video. I didn't know he was going to play a video, I hate politics, right? But I want to remind you that here at Colony Christian Church, we don't support or stand by necessarily any particular part of parties. Okay, so we stand by the King Jesus, right? We stand by God, who makes our playlist, who makes our rules, and there may be parties that stand by us, right? Parties that stand by our King. There may be people in different parties that stand by our King. What our job is as voters is to measure each person that we consider voting for up with our form of government, God as our King. And how do the people that we are voting for, how do they make decisions based on worldly views or based on God's views? So with that statement, let's start in James. Today we're going to be going over James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. So if you want to turn your Bibles, then you can follow along. The thing that we're going to talk about is a problem. James opens this scripture up in chapter 4, verse 1, says, what's the problem, basically? What causes fights and quarrels among you? So we're going to address that problem. What is this problem that James is talking about? Last week, James had us take a look at wisdom, if you remember last week. And we compared wisdom and we contrasted it to the wisdom of the world with the wisdom that is from above, wisdom that is from God. The wisdom of the world, he said, is earthly. It's unspiritual. It's demonic, and it's born out of bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. Now, moving into chapter 4, James throws out a question. The question is, of course, what is causing quarrels and fights among you? Remember, he's addressing dear brothers and sisters. That's us, folks. That's Christians. That's the family of God here. He is addressing us. Parents, that question, what causes quarrels and fights among you? Does that sound familiar? You hear your precious children squabbling in the backseat of the car, or a disagreement come from the kitchen, and you holler out, what are you guys fighting for? Why are you squabbling? And the answers could be, they used all the milk and now I can't have cereal. Or they're too close to me, touching me in the car. They won't do their chore. I can't do my chore, Mom and Dad, because you can't put dirty dishes away. They have to do their chore first. Man, siblings fight a lot, it would seem like. That's nothing new to know that siblings fight, whether it's brothers in Christ, sisters in Christ, or literal siblings. This is nothing new, but why? Why must they fight? James has the answer here. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want, but you don't have. You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make your enemy, you make yourself an enemy of God. Don't you think the scriptures have no meaning? Or do you think? They say that God is passionate, that the Spirit He has placed within us should be faithful to Him. And He gives grace generously, as the scriptures say. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So, humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter, and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up in honor. We fight, folks, because we want what we want, when we want it, and how we want it. If we aren't getting what we want, guess what? We devise ways to make it happen. Our sin nature causes us to be selfish people. No one has to teach a baby to be selfish, right? It comes naturally. If a toddler sees a toy they want, they take it. And if you make them give it back, or if you take it from them, they're going to respond by screaming or crying. That's their natural reaction. Now, we know that it's necessary to teach children good manners. And I'll bet you can point out some negative outcomes in a person, an adult, or a teenager that unfortunately wasn't taught these manners as a child. Maybe you see it in the form of bullying. Maybe they're a bully. Maybe they're a thief, or maybe they're just flat out disrespectful. As adults, we still have wants and desires. We want a nice house. We want a good car. We want money to pay the bills. We want extra spending cash to spend on entertainment or nice shoes or eating out. Fill in the blank. Some desires are deeper, though, such as power, fame, fortune. You can probably think of these examples of people who have worked hard, honest jobs to attain those desires. And you can probably also think of others who have lied and cheated and stolen to get what they wanted. It's not bad to want to have our basic needs met. That's not a bad thought or a bad want. To have food, to have water, to have shelter, to have clothing. Not all desires are evil either. In fact, I believe that God created humans with needs and with desires. His purpose for creating us with these needs and these desires is so that we will turn to Him. Every need and desire in a human's heart ultimately boils down to a need to be cared for and a desire to be loved. And guys, God is the only one capable for providing the care and the love that we need. The only one who can satisfy our desire to be loved. Without God, we would not have air to breathe. We wouldn't have His infinite wisdom of creativity. We wouldn't have plants or animals to feed us or the resources to create shelters. Our every need is supplied by Him, and we should humble ourselves and thank Him, man, every day for supplying us with these needs, instead of getting caught up in the rat race of all the things that we do, trying to make it on our own, to take care of ourselves, when we get in the mindset that we have to do whatever it takes to take care of me, we are missing out on the peace of joy of the simple living that God intended. Tony Evans, one of my favorite preachers, he says he has a question. You know, those people that think, well, I'm a self-made man, I'm a self-made woman. And he would ask, which part of yourself did you make? God makes us. How many fights do we get into when we mistake our wants for our needs? Almost every marriage is affected by conflict over finances. Either how the money was spent or the fact that there doesn't seem to be enough of it. Even parents and children, they deal with stress regarding the cost of activities like sports, or maybe the kid wants to have the latest tennis shoes or the nicest clothing and their parents can't afford it. And so that causes stress, these wants and needs. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 1, tells us a good thing to remember. Basically, it's better to live with a little and give thanks for it. The actual verse says, better a dry crust eaten in peace than a house filled of feasting and conflict. And would you rather have a house with everything you could possibly want, but constant conflict every day? Or would you ever have just enough and peace? I think every one of us would want just enough and peace. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, Jesus tells us, he tells us basically that God knows what we need and will give it to us. The verses, don't worry about these things, saying what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Now, I'm not saying that wealth is evil. You guys know that. God does not, or he does allow some people to obtain an abundance of resources, but with those resources comes responsibility. Responsibility to use them wisely and not on your own pleasure. God blesses you so that you can be a blessing to others. Like James talks about in chapter 2, verse 15 through 16. James chapter 2, verse 15 through 16, he says, suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say goodbye and have a good day, stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? God is the source of provision, but he uses people like you and I to deliver this provision. This is exactly what the early church did. God used the early church to distribute the provisions to help meet the needs of others. Acts chapter 2, verse 44 and 45. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day and met in their homes for the Lord's Supper. But as time went on after this new church where they supplied, as time went on, the church spread out geographically. And persecution is taking place in this first church. And the honeymoon period is over. James is having to deal with these Christians, and they are fighting and they are quarreling. These fights, they're not just about basic needs being unmet, though. People are trying to get power. When folks take sides, by the way, our unity is threatened. When we are divided as Christians, trying to, lusting after power and things such as that, then we are split apart and our unity is torn. And that's when problems start happening. Jealousy is stirring up conflict, and people are beginning to take matters into their own hands because prayer doesn't seem to be getting them anywhere. In James, in chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, it deals with prayer. But real quick on this topic of prayer, how many of you have said a prayer and then didn't feel like it was answered? Yeah? I mean, I pray sometimes. And I suppose, I pray often. But sometimes, only sometimes, does my prayer not get answered. No, not really. But, so you pray and you think, well, okay, I need the answer to that. And it sounds so simple. Some people talk about, man, I prayed for this and God gave it to me. Oh, I wish I was one of those people. And sometimes he does. But these verses are good. We think, God, when God answers prayer, it's not our place to make up the rules on how he answers prayer. I was at a party not too long ago, this party was a party focused around the flying of remote-controlled airplanes. Maybe y'all were there. And these airplanes, we had a group of us watching, and there was a pilot, and these really cool airplanes were flying way down yonder and coming back. And there was a problem. There was an obstacle in the air path flight, and it was power lines down yonder. And so we had the need for an air traffic controller to be placed underneath of those power lines to give information to the pilot and the others here who were instructing the pilot on what to do way over here. And so we have an air traffic controller. Here goes the plane, and every time that the plane would come this far, the power lines are right here, the air traffic controller would say, okay, we're good, and then the plane drops down, and it could go. The problem is that from our perspective, when the plane looked like it was past the power lines, it was right here. So it dropped down, go right through here. Our air traffic controller, Steve, when he's given a job, he does his job, right? And so we would be back here, and here comes the plane, and it looks like, okay, it's good, but we haven't heard the air traffic controller. Maybe he's not being loud enough. Y'all know Steve. maybe he forgot, maybe he's sleeping on a job. We'll go ahead and come back down. Well, the first couple times, no problem. It went in between or slightly missed or whatever. But by the time the plane got way over here, according to us, right about here, then the air traffic controller would say, you're good. But nobody was concerned about that. See, if you do something several times, if you ask for prayer, if you pray for something several times and don't get a response, you stop listening for that response just naturally. Even experts do this. Jesus preached to the experts of the law, the Pharisees. They were missing things. They were so hung up on being experts that they were forgetting to listen to the air traffic controller. And so at some point, airplane drops down because it's normal. We've just written away the air traffic controller and cuts the plane in half or the tail fin off of it. And then the air traffic controller is probably like, I didn't give the go-ahead. When we pray to God, are we waiting for him to give an answer? Or are we saying, God didn't give it right away, so time to go on? If God is not giving you the go-ahead, don't go ahead. We need to wait for God to answer these prayers. on his time, in his way. Otherwise, why are we praying? Which we all need to pray. And so James addresses this prayer, and he says, you don't ask with the right motives. And even when you do ask, he's not going to answer it because your motives are wrong. You only want what gives you pleasure. If we are going to have this kind of relationship with our God, with our air traffic controller, then we better let him control us. Seeking pleasure is an attempt to satisfy the desires of your heart. Do you think that's true? Seeking pleasure is an attempt to satisfy the desires of your heart. So all of those desires ultimately boil down to the desire to be intimately known and deeply loved. Anything besides God that we seek out to satisfy that desire will ultimately let us down or turn on us and destroy us. The scrambling and grasping that we do in order to gain the satisfaction of this level of love and identity is caused by the warring of evil desires inside of us. That's what he's saying in verse 1. This, the difference from an evil desire and a God-given desire is whom or what we expect to satisfy our desire. Your spouse, they may be great, but they cannot satisfy your deepest longing to be truly known and loved. Your dad, mom, or child cannot fill the void which God has created to be completed only by him. Your job, no matter how successful you become, is not going to give you an identity that brings you peace. God is the only one who can satisfy your deepest desire. This is why verse 4 says, "You adulterers." And man, I read that and I cringe just a little bit. So other parts of this scripture in the book of James, he's saying, "Dear brothers and sisters, dear Christians, dear my people whom I love and I am in a like mind to, dear brothers and sisters." And so he's still talking to them, and now he says, "You adulterers." Ooh, he brings out his teeth and he puts some pressure on us. As brothers and sisters in Christ, the people that James is talking to, we need to have broad shoulders at this point when we're reading this scripture. Listen, folks, we are called to do God's work. And James is not chewing us out, is not tearing us down so that we stay down there. He calls these folks adulterers so that they will step up and rise above it. Don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? When you run after what the world promises, or you expect people to fill you with love, you are betraying God. He has made the ultimate covenant with you, sealed in his blood. He knows you more than you know yourself. He knows all your flaws, all your weaknesses, and he still calls you his beloved. Scripture says that he is a jealous God. Verse 5 says that the spirit he has placed in us should be faithful to him. You will not find a deeper, more true, steadfast love than the love that Christ has for you. James knows that when he calls us, when he calls these guys and us adulterers, and he calls us you sinners, he knows that there is not a deeper, more true, more steadfast love than the love that Jesus has for us. He loves us. John chapter 1. No, actually, 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, actually. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. God loved us first. And he loved us fully, even at our worst. Even when we were unlovable, even when we were off offending him, when we were not serving him, he still loved us. This was his plan from the beginning because he knew who he created each of us to be. He knows our true identity and he loves us. He knew that the only way to bring us into that relationship with our deepest desire, where it would be met, was to love us. And here's how he loves us. By laying down his life in order that we might be released from our chains of sin and be free to become like Jesus. He has put his Spirit in us so that we too can love others like he loves them. So, stop fighting and quarreling with your spouse, with your family, with your brothers and sisters in Christ, and those outside of the church. If they made you feel mad or feel unloved or put your or offended you, take those feelings and put them on the altar. Man, sacrifice those. Let them burn up like incense and choose to walk in the truth of God's love. You are loved. Because you are loved, you are called to forgive hurtful words and selfish actions by giving up your life for the person who has not met the expectation of your needs. Now here's how God's word tells us to do this. How to love people instead of fight with them. Spouses, right? When you are married, you are in a covenant relationship. Ephesians chapter 5, 22 through 25. This talks about this covenant relationship, the submission side of it, and the sacrifice side of it. Men, God says in that scripture, Christ gave up his body for the bride, the church, us. He gave up his life. And that scripture says, likewise, men, we need to sacrifice for our wives to even give our lives up. That doesn't mean just taking a bullet. No, it's much more difficult than that. Sacrificial love. Parents, this means that we are responsible to mature our children, to raise them up, to train them, to teach them how to be obedient and to become wise. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this means to look to each other's interest and not your own, giving preference to others and strangers. Our responsibility to strangers, man, we got to share the gospel with them. We got to provide for their needs, show them some hospitality and enemies. I remember what we were talking about in Sunday school today. I think it was King Rehoboam. So he was a little bit worse than his dad. His dad whipped the evil people, and King Rehoboam whipped them with scorpions, the scripture says. So I think maybe that's how we should treat our enemies. Well, let's remember who our enemies are. Satan is our enemy. People get caught up with doing evil things, but how we're treating the folks in this world that we would call our enemies, like when Jesus is saying, turn the other cheek and that type of thing. These kind of people. First off, we need to remember, keep in mind that people are all made by God. Jesus says, turn the other cheek, go the extra mile. Man, this doesn't mean to give up or to join their position. This means to love them in such a way that you don't shrink back in the face of persecution, but you stand firm in the truth while refusing to be enticed into attacking back or hating them. We need to use God's wisdom when loving others like Christ. You show your spouse love by giving a kiss to them, but don't go kissing strangers. That could cause a fight or a quarrel. You show your kid love by disciplining them when they don't obey you, but you can't go around spanking strangers or enemies. Wisdom can guide you in loving others and avoiding fights and quarrels, because wisdom is pure and peace-loving and full of mercy with good deeds and sincerity. Finally, humble yourselves before God. James says, humble yourselves. Resist the devil. Resist those evil desires that you have, and all of us struggle with them. That's how the whole mess of sin got started. You know, the devil tempted Eve by telling her she would be satisfied if she took the apple for herself, and then she wouldn't need God. Don't believe the lie, folks. Only God can truly satisfy. If only Eve had trusted in God and His Word, every need would have been met in the garden of paradise for her. She would have known the deepest love face to face as she continued to walk with her Creator. She could have actually heard God's voice daily as He revealed her identity as a child of God. Praise God that He made a way. We can once again discover our identity. The deepest desires of our heart can be satisfied through Jesus Christ. We can decrease the fights and quarrels we have with each other if we will focus on allowing Jesus to meet our needs and expectations and to be known and loved. Let's release others from this responsibility of making us happy and instead be intentional about loving others the way Jesus loves them. See what Jesus sees. Forgive what Jesus forgives. Humble yourselves like Jesus did for the joy that was set before Him, meaning the joy of reconciliation. Humble yourselves, and that means bringing reconciliation in relationships. It seems counterproductive to our worldly minds that to win a quarrel means you lose, but that by choosing to lose a quarrel, you actually win. That doesn't make sense to our worldly minds, but to humble yourself and give up the quarrel sounds weak and cowardly to some. But it takes a lot of courage to back down and to offer grace to someone who may not appreciate it. It's hard to be wrong and to give that over to God, who says, vengeance is mine. But God's ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than ours. Let's do what James tells us and put our faith into action. Psalms chapter 37, verses 3 through 4. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desires. Let's pray. Father God, I know I know that each one of us here, including myself, has desires. And Lord, we chase after ways to fill those desires, to complete ourselves. God, and I pray now, knowing that you have promised to offer everything that we need to fill us, fill that void inside of us. God, that's what you're for. That's what you made it for. God, we put our trust in you. Lord, I pray that as we go today, we will bring strength to our community, because you are the one who gives us our identity as children. I pray for our brothers and sisters here that we would not quarrel and fight, God, knowing of the sacrifice that Jesus gave us. He sacrificed his life and then didn't stop there. He came back to life. Provide an opportunity for us to be with you, God. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that's ready to make a step, a decision towards following you, towards stepping up their game for what you would have them, your will, that doing. God, I pray that you would just guide us into a place of making a difference for your kingdom. Give all glory and honor.